Stand with me. We're going to go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 7. And we are continuing and completing our spiritual awakening series. Before we go to our text, I would like to say thank you to those that have supported our young people that are at camp and prayer. And there's also those that sponsored kids to go. And then the next 2 weeks, there's going to be retreats for the girls and for the guys. And we have had generous support that has helped several that would not have been normal been able to go. They're able to go. And that just shows amazing people that look after the needs of others. And I really appreciate you for being so generous. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 7. And let's start with verse number 5. 2 Kings 7 and verse number 5. And they arose, and they rose up in the twilight. Everyone say the twilight. To go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. Everyone say, in the twilight. And left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. When those lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. Everyone say, this day. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. And verse number 11 says, and he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night. Everyone say, in the night. And said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying that when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. And they took, therefore, 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Now, here's the part I want you to focus on. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said. I'm going to talk to you about the prelude to a stampede. A prelude to a stampede. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word tonight. We pray that the living word will preach the written word, and that you would now cause us to appropriate the reality of this new day of good tidings. Help us to not just accept what you have done, but now to begin to act upon it, live in it, receive its benefits, and then begin to appropriate all of these blessings to those that are around us until the entire city has access to what you've put in our hands. We bind every resisting spirit, whether human or demonic, in the name of Jesus, and we pray your perfect will be done. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. varying degrees of spiritual awakening have finally brought us to the culmination of this text. The high point of this story, where there was an ultimate triumph in which their faith overcame their famine. There was a breakthrough in which their ability to submit themselves to God destroyed and brought an end to their siege. There was such a flow and energy and life that as just four lepers saw what God had done when they had surrendered themselves to Him, when they had stepped out in faith, it began to have an explosive effect where people literally in one night were completely transformed. Now, I understand that there are processes in everything that we do. Many times when we talk about miracles, we sometimes forget that there was a process leading up to the miracle. Sometimes we want the end result without the process. We want to be David anointed king at 15, and then we want him to be king at 16. And we forget there's another lifetime of process between being anointed and actually becoming king. We want to be Joseph that has a dream at 17, and we want the dream to come to pass at 18. But we forget that there was a 13-year period that led up to him finally seeing his dream fulfilled when he's 30 years old. We want to see the end of the famine and the spiritual breakthrough, but all of the things leading up to this are very important. There has to be a corporate mindset that changes, and those things don't change quickly. They change under the cauldron of fire, under the forging of the sword in the hot flames as the smith beats it out. He forges that sword until finally, with the heat and with the cold, it eventually becomes a powerful sword. That sword is forged over time. That two-edged sword of the Word of God being handled so effectively and efficiently that miracles happen in our lives, that comes over a process of day after day walking with God and speaking faith and developing a character that is able to yield itself on a continual basis for the Spirit of God to work. Part of what Elisha got from Elijah was a seasoned man of God who imparted his spirit. And that spirit had already gone through the fire and been forged. So when he passed it and imparted it to Elisha, he had that advantage and that benefit in his life. But then he had to take those things and appropriate them in his generation the way that God wanted them to be fulfilled. And so now he is teaching those that come to his school, and now he is teaching the larger faith community until it eventually reaches the throne and touches the king himself. And the king himself has got to be awakened. The final stage was that the highest level of authority would be transformed. And so this is what God is leading the king to, a breakthrough on the highest level, a spiritual awakening. And once you have the culminative effect of smaller awakenings that bring a corporate mindset that ultimately transforms mentalities, then you see in one night how God can turn it all around. I still believe that God can change things in a moment. I will always believe in the power of the miraculous. I will continue preaching to you that God in one day can change everything. They literally went from a famine to a feast in one day. In one day. Everyone say in one day. Now look at your neighbor and say in one day it can happen to you. In one day God can turn it around. You can get one phone call and it would change everything. That's right. You could get one open door and it would change everything. You could have one prayer get answered that you've been praying a long time, and suddenly the pain goes out of your body. You've been living with that pain, and all of a sudden that prayer, boom, you get a breakthrough, and now you don't have pain, and you wake up the next morning and you realize, I don't need these pills anymore. I don't have to go back to the doctor anymore. How much would that change the whole of your life with just one of those kinds of miracles? And so what God does is he tries to fashion our character. He tries to mold us and transform our thinking so that he can facilitate those kinds of miracles. But the ultimate goal is that we would keep the change. Touch somebody and say, keep the change. This is what God is desiring. He is not wanting us just to have a miracle and then us go back to where we were. He doesn't want us to just get a breakthrough and then go back into famine again. He doesn't want us to have a one night with God that is an awesome night and then we lose everything that happened because we don't have the character. We don't have the fortitude. We don't have the mindset. We don't have the revelation to sustain what God is doing. That's why the process is in place. And once we see that process coming where these people in the middle of their famine said, I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to speak the word of God. And Elisha said, tomorrow about this time. And they bought into that word. And through that buying in to the word of God, something was unlocked. Divine favor hovered over them until there was prophetic action that followed up the prophetic word. And four lepers stepped out and surrendered to their destiny. And here came the thundering sound of horses. And I mean, they're out there going, and I mean, it just sounded like the voices of thousands upon thousands of thousands of soldiers. And they turned around and they ran. And they were running. Can you imagine? I would have loved to have seen it from this perspective, looking down at those four lepers that rose up in the twilight and said, well, we can't go back. Can't stay where we are. Got nothing to lose. Might as well surrender. And just started walking with their hands up. I surrender. Surrender. And as they got their hands up walking, the sound of the chariots, and they get up and they get on their horses. And 50,000 plus start galloping off from four unarmed lepers. Awesome. That's the kind of God that we serve. That when you position yourself in the right place, when you have released the word of God into your life to the degree where you would take the risk to do something about it, and something begins to happen, and God opens up the windows of heaven. And they walk into the tents, and they start feasting on the food and laying up in store all this gold and silver. And then they realize there is so much abundance. It is more than they could possibly eat in one night. I mean, their stomachs were full, and there was enough for 50,000 men. Enough fresh bread for 50,000 men. I mean, we're talking about meat that's still on the fire. And they realize, wait a minute, if we don't share this with somebody, then God's going to judge us for this. There's going to be something wrong, something bad is going to happen to us if we don't tell these people that are starving in this city right here how much fresh bread is just right outside their door. If we don't tell them about what God just did and this day being a day of good tidings, something's not, we don't do well. And they said, we have got to start spreading the word that there's an expiration date. This bread is only going to last so long. And we better get it now because it's fresh and it's ready and God just provided it. And it's more than enough to handle all of the hunger that is in this city. And so you have to realize the people inside the city, they had lived in famine for so long that their minds had now become accustomed to famine. Their whole bodies had gone into a different mode. Ketosis has used all the fat that they can to release any stored up energy that's there. I mean, their breath is bad. Their faces are gray. I mean, they're not thinking real clear. They don't have a lot of nutrients. All of their electrolytes are out of whack, and these people are just fainting and they're desperate and just wandering around like zombies in the street. And so for them to hear a report that there's plenty of bread for everybody, it's kind of hard for them to accept because it's so different from the reality that they have been living in. They had lived in the famine so long that the famine had started identifying them. It had started becoming who they were. They had lived in this sustained period of lack for so long that they couldn't remember when things were normal. They couldn't remember how a normal meal was. They couldn't remember what it was like to go out into the field and to get the crops and bring it in and grind the meal and make a fresh loaf of bread. The women couldn't imagine having soup that night on the table. They couldn't think about what it would be like. They could imagine it, but they couldn't remember how it was because their life had been so much in this thought process. They had been in this cycle that famine had produced for so long. Can you imagine? You hear the knock on the door, kong, 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 and they just pull just a little slat, you know, just where the eyes can look, and they peer out there, and there's a guy with part of his nose missing and earlobe is eaten off, and he's missing a couple of fingers, and he's wrapped, and he goes, "Hey, guys, man, I just got some bread in there. I want you to know, man, there's tons of it and there's enough for everybody. You got to tell the king." And they're like, "What? Aren't you guys the leper?" "Yeah. You want some bread, man? I got another one in my pocket. You have for later. Let me see that." "Oh, man. Wow, that is good. That's fresh. Where'd you get this, man?" "Let's open the door." And they drag the door open, and the four guys come in. "Man, I want you to know, I got a turkey leg. You want a turkey leg?" And the guy's biting it off the bone. He says, wait a minute, what's going on? "You got to tell the king." "Yeah, man, I got to tell the king about this." "Wow. Hey, guys, there's some lepers down here. And they found some bread. You better go tell the king right now." "The king's sleeping. I think he needs to know about it now." You see, there's all this stuff that God was doing while people were still asleep. It was all happening in the nighttime. And what needed to happen was an awakening needed to take place for them to realize that their prayers had been answered now and that they didn't have to live inside these walls any longer. They could open up the gate, that everything that they needed was just right outside those doors. There wasn't an enemy anymore. The enemy that used to be there isn't there anymore. And the only way that they lose is if they allow what the enemy had done before to seed their mind with doubt and fear and unbelief, that they would not step through that door and accept the miracle that God was providing for them. And you see, the only thing that's going to keep us from getting everything that God has for us is if we sleep through God's provision that He's already given to us. If we miss what God has already done. Can I tell you something? The famine is officially over. The siege has ended. The enemy that used to be there is running right now. He is on his way out of here. We are not running from the enemy. He doesn't have us on the run. We have him on the run tonight. Hallelujah. Touch somebody, say, "I've got the devil on the run." And so what we need is somebody to just give us a word and let us know that it is possible. We have somebody needs to tell us there's some fresh bread that's available. Somebody needs to get the word out that the gates need to be opened and everybody needs to wake up. I know it's late. I know it's dark. I know you've been sleeping a while, but you're so hungry anyway. Wouldn't you like somebody to wake you up and tell you that you don't have to hunger anymore, that there's plenty of bread for you, for your house, for the entire community, for the entire city? God had literally provided everything that they would need to feed an entire city, and all they had to do was get out there and get it. So here comes the king. He wakes up, and his mind is so shocked by the famine that he has now learned how to interpret every blessing through the lens of lack. He has learned how to turn every good bit of news into a tragedy. He has learned how to see what's bad about everything that God is doing right now. And there are some people that get so geared into their negative thinking. They get so geared into their season of loss. They get so acclimated to the famine that when God sends the enemy away, we're convinced it's just a trick. That when God starts giving you a breakthrough, oh, it's only temporary. He'll be back. You can get so accustomed to being attacked that you can't really believe that you've got victory. And God was trying to change a corporate mentality. And here was a man that had been indoctrinated by reality to such a degree that he was having a hard time accepting that it could be any other way. And God was trying to tell him, Mr. King, it's time to get up now. Time to wake up. Wake up and smell the bread. It's fresh. Wake up and smell the victory. The enemy's gone. Wake up and smell the reality. There's gold and silver in abundance, and your enemy just brought it right to you. They left it, and they're not coming back for it. Oh, no, no, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. He said, you know what we need to do? He said, it's a trick. What's going to happen is we're all going to let down the guard. And if we open up ourselves, soon as we let our guard down and open up the gates, we're going to step out there and we're going to think that all that food is just there for us. And we're going to eat a couple of bites. And just about the time we do that, they're going to come out of the shadows and they're going to kill us all. I'm convinced. Those Syrians, they're tricky, you know. And somebody says, Your Majesty, we're desperate. Can we at least try? Can we at least open up the gates to send out maybe 5 horses? And by the time they got done talking, they had whittled it down to 2. 2 horses. We can spare 2 horses. 2 men. So they crack the doors open just enough to get the horses out. And they go riding out. And then they shut the gates. And they put the lock back down. And they pray. And they ride. And they ride. And the king now is awake with his candle. And he's looking out the window. Have you heard anything yet, Porter? Have you seen anything yet? Not yet, Your Majesty. Nothing yet, sir. Okay. And he tries to lay down, but he can't sleep now. He's restless. Gets up, he starts walking the floors, and they're gone. Not 15 minutes, not a half hour, they're gone an hour. They ride all the way to the Jordan, and then they ride all the way back. And when they ride back, open the gate! And they open the gates again, and they come riding in. Your Majesty, it is amazing. What is it? What is it? He's standing there with a little flicker of the candlelight on his face, you know. You can barely see his eyes, and he's looking at him with the flicker of the candle. Your Majesty, there's broken pieces of pottery. They just took like their glasses, and they were drinking as they went and threw it behind them. It looks like they were running in haste. Even garments were left behind. They didn't take anything with them. It was all cast aside. We saw the whole army, all their tracks. They're gone. They crossed the Jordan. They're not coming back. They're not coming back? You mean they're really gone? You mean God really did answer our prayer? You mean the famine really is ended? You mean the siege is over? You mean all the sackcloth and the prayer, it actually worked? You mean the man of God was right? You mean God did come through? Hey, wow, this is awesome. Okay, guys, blow the trumpet and wake them up. He said, wake up the workers. I mean, they're going in. Come on, it's time to get up now. What are you doing? A miracle has happened. God has done a miracle for us. What? Our enemy is gone. Get out there and get that bread ready. Because when the morning light comes, we're going to wake up the city. He See, when the corporate mindset of leadership changes, when we who have been here the longest accept the reality of what God is doing. I've been in this all my life. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 5 years old. And there are some things that you kind of drag with you. And God has to work you out of. He has to process you out of. And sometimes he's got to put you in a place where everything is stripped away until all you have is faith. Until all you have is God. And then suddenly a breakthrough happens and you learn for yourself. It's not just what daddy preached to me. It's not just what the Sunday school teacher taught me. It's not just what I learned when I went to those, when I went as a child, when I went to church with my parents. But now suddenly it's my God. It's my faith. It's my promise. It's my miracle. It's my breakthrough. God really can do it. And once that reality hits us, everything. Stop for a minute. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. I want you to thank him. I want you to accept it. I want you to let it sink in right now. What's it going to take for you tonight? What does God have to do for you to accept it? What's it going to take for your mind to change? What's it going to take for you to stop interpreting the blessings that are going on right now as tricks that the enemy's playing on you? What's it going to take for you to trust again? This is the biggest issue. The king simply didn't trust. When your trust has been tampered with, it's really hard to heal it. He simply lost faith for a while. He simply lost trust for a while. He was tracking the man of God, tracking the man of God, tracking the man of God, and then they did something that was really prophetic, really different. Instead of killing the enemy, they fed the enemy. And that was the part where the king stepped back and said, "We don't normally do it like that. And I'm not too sure about that. And I don't know about this new idea, this new mentality, this new approach. I don't know about this new method. I don't know if I can go along with this or not." And so he's waiting it out to see what's going to happen. And worse things happen rather than better things happen. And then he makes his conclusion too soon. He decides too soon to break trust, to break faith. Talk about bird dogs when they use them in hunting, that there is an incredible amount of faith that that dog has to have in his master. And they teach them to stay on point until the bird is flushed up. The tail goes up and he stays there until his master gives the word, it's okay. And sometimes dogs cannot stay there. They'll smell it. They'll smell the bird there. They can't see it. They can smell it. But there's something in them that says, "I don't have the patience." And they do something called breaking faith. And if a dog will break faith at that point, they can't trust him and they can't use him anymore to hunt for birds. So they have to teach them to stay with it until the process is finished. And this is what God does with us. There's a lot of things that we sense in the spirit. We feel they're coming, but we haven't seen it yet. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. I haven't seen it yet, but I have faith in me that something's going to change. What is that faith? That's the evidence that it will. That's the proof that it will, because God would not have put the faith in me if it was not going to happen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you get a rhema word from God, tomorrow about this time, this is how it's going to be. That imparts the faith that you need. And if you will hold on to that faith, then everything that that word says will become reality. You can't break faith. You can't break trust. You have to stay with it. Touch somebody and say, stay with it. Stay with it. You have to hold on to that word until the breakthrough comes. And so here comes the evidence now. They come back and they tell the king. And what little flicker of faith he had left was ignited. And he says, all right, open the gates, wake up the workers, and let's assemble this. Now the process is not having the resources. Now the issue is not lack. Now the issue is knowing how to distribute everything that God just put in your hand. Now it's knowing how to organize all the resources. Now it's knowing how to get the right people in the right place to know how to take the stuff that's in the tents and put it in the right position. To know what to do with what God just put in your hand. Okay, the food goes here. Okay, the barley goes here. Okay, the wheat goes here. Now the silver and gold, that goes there. Okay, this is what we do with the clothes. This is what we do with the tents. Okay, what do we do with the horses? This is where they go. What do we do with the donkeys? This is where they go. What do we do with all these tents that are left over? This we're going to burn. This one we're going to save. This one. We got to have people out here that know how to process this. And if you're still in the past somewhere, you don't really know how to do it. You don't know how to process it. That's why God had to wake some people up in the night that were already ready. They were ahead of the rest of the people. They were ahead of the city. It was going to take a brand new day dawning on the city for them to be able to get what God was doing in the nighttime. But there was a select group of people that God woke up in the middle of the night because they were the ones that had the foresight, that had the anticipation. They were the ones that were the early adopters. I wish you would hear me right now. They were the prophetic people that said, I've been believing for this for a long time and I've been waiting. Yes, wake me up. Go ahead. Interrupt me if you have to, because I'm ready to get out there and see this miracle happen. And so what we see right now is that God is waking some people up in the middle of the night. Some of you, it was an interruption. Some of you, it was a little bit of an inconvenience, but there was a hunger in you that God saw. God saw a desire and a passion in you that was greater than the inconvenience of being waken up in the middle of the night. And so you know what? You're a part of the prelude to a stampede. There's a stampede of people that are coming, and they're coming to all the things that we already have our hands on. God let the early adopters go out into the tents, and guess what? They got to eat all they wanted. They got the reward of not having to pay for anything because they were there first. But when the morning light came, they were the sellers at the table. Measure of barley, two measures of barley for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel. I got a shekel. All right, here you go. They were the ones that arranged everything, set it out on the tables. They were the ones that put the stuff in the storehouse. And the king said, have all you want. Because you were there in the middle of the night. You caught this vision before anybody else caught this vision. And the Bible says they spoiled. You read it. They spoiled the tents of their adversaries. They walked into the Syrians and said, you've had that gold and silver long enough. Now it's mine. You've had that bread long enough. Now it's mine. You know what? You've had all this meat long enough. Now it's mine. I'm going to spoil the enemy's tents. You took away all of our resources. You starved us out. You tried to kill us, but now the tables are turned and I'm taking back everything that you stole from me. I'm going into your house now and I'm going to take what's yours, and now it's going to be mine. Let somebody say, I'm going to my enemy's tent and I'm taking back what's mine and I'm going to take theirs too. Hallelujah. I'm going to have five times more. Praise God. High five somebody and say, I'm taking it back. And five times more. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. See, God puts you in positions where you will embrace the change because staying the same is so miserable. See, people don't change until the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of change. The pain of staying the same is we're starving. It's famine. People are feeding on each other's kids. Something wrong here. Families are breaking down. There's dysfunction everywhere. People aren't in their right mind. They're not getting the nutrients that they need. So there's no more trust. You're looking over your shoulder. Anybody anywhere could steal something from you, rob you. They could take your mule right in the cover of darkness. It's soup tomorrow if you don't protect it. I mean, you get to this state when then there's scarcity. You don't trust anybody. You have your guard up. All you're doing is protecting yourselves. Everything becomes independent. It becomes just survival. And you stay in a survival mindset long enough that when God starts breaking you out of it and wants to give you a revival and a renewal, that it's hard for you to embrace it. But once you get convinced, and somehow we have to be convinced tonight, then that's when the mindset has to change, and we have to stop thinking and operating and functioning on the old premise that now has become an untruth. The enemy had tried to persuade them that the siege would never end, but I'm telling you that the siege can only last so long. The enemy can only stand to fight against us so long. You can only go through so many periods of suffering so long. The cup that you drink that is full of the bitter gall, it's only so deep. There is a point when it changes. And when that point comes, that becomes the climax, the high point, when the doors are busted open and you stop living in fear and you start coming together and you move from scarcity to abundance, and everything is better. And this is where God is bringing us to right now, where we don't have to look over our shoulders at who's going to hit us now. You don't have to live in fear of your brother or your sister. You're not going to wander around and wonder, how are we going to make it through this week? How are we going to make it through this month? How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to get to where we need to go? I want you to accept this in your mind. I want you to put this into your thought processes, that it's time to open the gates and let the abundance that God has prepared for us become a part of our new reality, because a brand new day is about to dawn. Lift your hands to the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's a law of momentum. It takes a lot to get a train moving. It's an enormous amount of energy to get a train moving. With all those cars that they put on the back of that engine, and it just moves a couple of inches. But I'm telling you, once that engine starts to move, once those cars start to move, once that thing starts to pick up just a little bit of steam, then the train itself begins to push along behind that engine until, and now it's just how to use the brakes, because we're coming to a turn. The momentum of it becomes so powerful that it becomes unstoppable. And it takes a while for a church to pick up its momentum. It takes a little while for us to get that energy and get all of it focused in the right place and get behind the vision, and all of us get on board and all the necessary ingredients get piled inside of all the carts and all the weight that goes into that and all the time and the planning and then the push. But I'm going to tell you, once that momentum gets going, there is an amazing amount of force and energy that starts being unlocked. Until now, it doesn't take a whole lot for you to get where you need to go. It's just a matter of just directing it in the right way. And what I'm telling you is you see this process of just four lepers just moving into the tents and then eating a little meal, and the rest of the city is all in the dark and they don't know anything. And then it's a porter on the wall, and then it's a few men from the palace, and then it's two horsemen, and then all of a sudden the spoilers wake up in the night and they're getting the barley and the wheat and the gold and the silver, and people are starting to really pay attention to how massive this amount of resources is. They're starting to take into accord. Do you realize how many tents there are, how much gold there is? Your Majesty, do you know how wealthy we just became in one night? And then by the time the morning comes, the word is spread through the streets and the momentum is so huge, it's a stampede. People aren't going, well, I wonder if there's bread. They're going, I want some, I want some. I'm going to get mine. I got to have it. And what I'm telling you is it starts with a little trickle. You get one, get the Holy Ghost over here. And then there's another over there. And then all of a sudden it's three or four over here. And then somebody gets baptized. And then there's a breakthrough in the back. And then there's a few more new families that join here. And all of a sudden, and there's something happening in the nighttime. There's an awakening that's going on, and people are getting out there saying, hey, I'm tasting this. This tastes good. Hey, it's fresh bread. Hey, God is doing something. Hey, look, there's enough for us, and there's enough for our family. There's enough. Do you realize how, hey, this is bigger than I even thought it was? It's even more than what I expected. It's going beyond what I even believed for. And now the momentum starts carrying until they're stampeding. They're coming from everywhere to come and get the bread. What I'm telling you is we are experiencing the prelude to a stampede right now. And I believe that God just wants to give you first dibs. I believe that God wants those of you that have just held on and been faithful and believed God and didn't give up and confessed the word and believed the promise. I believe God wants you to be able to have the first experience with the spoiling of our enemy's tents. That's what God wants to do for you. And for those that somewhere in the middle of God trying to create the momentum that had the audacity to say, it'll never happen. For those that said, I don't believe it. For those that worked against the prophetic word, spoke against the spiritual authority. For those that said, no way it can happen. God would open up the windows of heaven, and even if he did, it wouldn't be enough to get us out of this. Elisha said, you'll see it, but you won't partake. You know what God is going to do for all the people that said we weren't going to have a revival and weren't going to have a harvest? You know what God does? He's got a great sense of humor. This man that had unbelief and said it was never going to happen, it was impossible, it was going to take place. You know what happened? The king made him the keeper of the gate. You know what? I need a trustworthy man. Oh, yes, Your Majesty. Of course. Yes, sir. Can I trust you? Oh, you can trust me, Your Majesty. I believed all along. I knew this was going to happen. You get to keep the gate. Oh, yes, Your Majesty. It's be my pleasure. Be my pleasure to open the gate. Right outside the gates, folks, is all the bread you would ever want. We have barley and wheat that's there. Yes, we know. Oh, would you just open the gate? I'm about to open the gate now, okay? We're going to open the gate. And he pushes the gate. And the people say, let me at him. And the poor boy was Black Friday. And he was in front of the door. and they were about to have the biggest sale they'd ever had in their life. And he fell down, and they just didn't even know he was there. They trampled him right under their feet, and the Bible says he died. He saw it, but he never got to partake of it because the momentum that he refused to build, the momentum that he worked against, now became the very thing that destroyed him. It was the very power of that momentum that just bowled him over. What I'm telling you is there's some people that right as the momentum is going, they try to sabotage it because they're afraid of losing their influence. Hear me. They have some kind of an ulterior motive. They're afraid they might lose their power. Or they might lose their access to the high places. They may not have as much favor with the king anymore like they're used to. And so they have to try to use some kind of maneuvering to keep themselves in some kind of a position by being the critic. You know, this somehow helps them to be empowered and emboldened. And it might be able to slow things down a little bit in that stage. But there's a point when the momentum is so strong and the force of it is so great that they don't even know that they're there. They are just trampled under their feet. And it wasn't anybody's fault. They didn't even see him. They had their eyes on getting some fresh bread. And what I'm telling you is there might be a few voices here and there that are trying to sabotage what God is doing, but it's not going to have any long-term effect on what's happening here. There is a momentum that is building that is so strong that nothing is going to be able to stand in its way. You might as well just join us right now. You might as well just accept it right now. You might as well just confess it right now. We're getting ready to have a stampede. It's about to become so strong. The current's about to be so great. The momentum is going to be so powerful that there's not going to be any naysayers that are going to be able to stop it. With or without you, it's going to happen. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. Whether you want to be a part of it or not, it's going to happen. Whether you want to walk away from it or not, you can walk away, but we're going to have it. We're going to have fresh bread. We're going to have a house full of people that are hungry. We're going to have people running from everywhere saying, I heard there's a fresh word in your house and I gotta have something. I need something from God. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet and clap your hands to the Lord, and would you give him praise right now? So tonight, we interrupt our normal programming for a special. Your normal programming you have been geared with.
More news of the famine. Tonight, people are still in the streets wandering around looking for food.
Boop. This just in. Four lepers report. Food for everyone. I'd like to interrupt your normal programming of depression, your normal programming of doubt, your normal programming of disbelief. I'd like to interrupt your normal programming of negativity. I'd like to interrupt your normal program of poverty mentality and of barely getting by. I'd like to interrupt your normal programming of pain and prolonged sickness and disease. I'd like to interrupt your normal programming of dysfunction. I'd like to interrupt your normal programming that Satan has tried to keep pounding into your ears. And I'd like to tell you something special is going on right now, and it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to wake up right now. It's time for you to wake up. It's here. All you have to do is go and get it. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord one more time tonight. Now, here's the proof. Here's the proof. Chapter 8 says that there was a natural famine that took place and happened for 7 years. But it's amazing. Nobody dies. Everybody survives. It's okay. How is it? Because they already came out of the fabricated famine. God just delivered them from their satanic siege. And because of that, what their enemy brought to them was not just enough for one day, but he gave them enough for them to last through any season of lack that they would ever go through. I mean, there was enough silver, there was enough gold, there was enough jewels, there was enough seeds, and there was enough animals. There was enough that God brought to them by their enemy that nobody suffered any lack, even though they went through a natural season of famine. What I'm telling you is that when God breaks you out of that pattern, even when your circumstances still reflect what you just went through, you will have so much access to spiritual abundance that it won't affect you like it affects everybody else. That even when there is a natural downturn in the economy, we have kingdom economy that still works in our lives. That even while other people might suffer, you say, no, we've already been through that. God already carried us through our season when Satan tried to sabotage us. And here I'm hearing stories about people getting new jobs and they're better than the job that they had before. I'm hearing stories about people having better outcomes. They went to the hospital, thought it was going to be this long. Instead, they're getting out in a couple of days earlier, folks. I'm telling you that God is doing something extraordinary right now, and He wants to break the pattern. He wants to make it permanent. Say, I'm coming out of my famine, and I'm not going back. Clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise. If you're ready to go out and spoil the tent of your enemy, I want you just to step out of the aisle just for a few minutes tonight. Just step out just for 30 seconds or 60 seconds and just come here and lift your hands and see if God won't tap you in to a supply. If God won't just cause abundance to start flowing in your spirit. I dare you just to come for a minute and lift your hands and surrender to God and trust Him and see if in that 60 seconds you don't suddenly tap in to the Holy Ghost and see where God will take it tonight. Father, I'm thanking You, Lord, right now that You are breaking mentalities that the enemy wanted to become permanent. Oh God, and You are reversing them tonight. God, I confess it that the reality of our church is abundance and not lack. I confess it that it's normal for us to be healthy and not sick. I confess that it's normal for us to have more than enough. I confess, God, that it's fresh bread and not stale bread. I confess, Lord Jesus, that the momentum is building. I confess, Lord Jesus, tonight that faith is being generated. I confess that there is an awakening that's going on in our midst right now. I confess it, God, that we're coming out of our siege. We're coming out of our famine. Hallelujah. And we will never be the same again. Reach over and touch somebody right now. And I want you to bless them tonight. Would you do it? Would you just bless them tonight with favor? Hallelujah. I bless you with favor tonight. Salabashatalabakataya. I want you to look at your neighbor right now. Just look at him and say, it's okay to smile. Doesn't it feel good to smile again? Doesn't it feel good to laugh again? Amen. Make sure you hug somebody. Tell them you love them before you leave and let the joy of the Lord go with you. Amen. Thank you for your prayers for me.